Suratul Mutaffifin. What we're going to see here in this surah, and this is almost like the beginning, this is one of the last surahs to be revealed in Mecca, or towards the end, and in fact, some say that it was revealed in Medina. So now you're going to start getting a little glimpse of the style difference in the Medini surahs versus the Mecki surahs. Just a little style, and like I said, Suratul Bayyinah is the one where we clearly get the difference. And so for 13 years in Mecca, the Aqidah was being emphasized. The Aqidah in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the belief in the revelation, the belief in the hereafter. And it was coming again and again and again, and we saw that in the surahs, recurring themes that happened, and was strengthening their iman more and more and more until they understood it. When they moved on to Medina, then came the verses of alcohol, then came the verses of jihad, and so on, after their belief was firm, and they immediately would accept those injunctions. As Aisha radiallahu anha has said, that if those injunctions had come in the beginning, that the people would have said that we're never going to leave it. Like if alcohol, the first revelation, if we saw, for example, right after Surah Iqra, the next surah, if it said, stop drinking alcohol. As Aisha radiallahu anha has said, that they would never have left it. That they would never have left it in those situations, but it came later, after their belief had been firm and their iman was solid, those injunctions came and they accepted it. In this surah, it talks about the groups of people, those who chose the path of righteousness, those who chose the path of evil. There is actually a third group. Right, we've been talking in the Meccan surah of the two groups. The third group are the munafiqeen, which is a phenomenon that happened in Medina because the power then came to the Muslims in Medina. So a third group came up. Those were people who claimed publicly to be Muslim, but privately and in their hearts, they didn't believe in Allah and His Messenger, and they hid their kufr. They were the munafiqeen. I remember a brother in one of the Muslim countries, he had gone there, and they had arrested him. Actually, they had planted some, like Sayyid Qutb books or something like that with them, and then they came, when they arrested him, they said, oh, you have Sayyid Qutb books. And they knew that they're the ones who gave the books to them, but they were being planted. So the brother who had gone there, he's, you know, very knowledgeable, you know, a da'i, he had told him, he said, look, and the officers are Muslim too. He said, are you Muslim? To that officer, and he said, of course I'm Muslim. And basically these people are just following orders. And then he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides the people into only three categories. Muslim, kafir, and munafiq, which one are you? And which category are you in? And that officer actually was very hurt by what he said. And the clarity of it. That you're either a believer, or you're a kafir, or you're a munafiq. And if a person says he's a believer, is this the path of a believer to harm other Muslims in such a way? This surah also talks about the mocking and the humiliation that the kuffar used to do to the believers. And like we'll see here, that it's a characteristic of a person of hellfire that they make fun of Muslims. And so when someone goes to another Muslim brother or sister and makes fun of them, you should realize that this is a characteristic of the people of hellfire, that they mock the believers. Now this is different than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who would always smile with his companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once went to one of the companions in the marketplace, snuck up behind them, and covered his eyes. And the companion, you know, someone grabs you like that, he was like, you know, get off, trying to get the person off, until he like peeked, saw that it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he relaxed, and he actually like put his back into the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was so honored that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was touching him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called out, he said, مَنْ يَشْتَرِ الْعَبْدِ. He said, who will buy the slave? Who will buy the slave? Obviously, it's not his slave. And so he said, Ya Rasulullah, he said, O Messenger of Allah, no one would buy me, I'm not worth anything. And then he said to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَكِنَّكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ غَالِبٌ. He said, but indeed, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are worth, or you are very expensive to Allah azza wa jalla. And so you'll see here, even though it was a joke, it was not a humiliation and a disgrace of the person, but it was out of love. Now, a person has to be very careful when they're joking with their brothers and sisters, that it has to be in truth, and it can't be anything that would hurt the person's feelings in such a way. And that's a very fine line, because something that we think doesn't hurt their feelings could very well hurt their feelings. Right? So a person has to be very careful in how they interact with their brothers and sisters.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويل للمطففين الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون ليوم عظيم يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين كلا إن كتاب الفجار لفي سجين وما أدراك ما سجين كتاب مرقوم ويل يومئذ للمكذبين الذين يكذبون بيوم الدين وما يكذب به إلا كل معتد أثيم إذا تتلى عليه آياتنا قال أساطير الأولين كلا بل ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون ثم إنهم لصال الجحيم ثم يقال هذا الذي كنتم به تكذبون كلا إن كتاب الأبرار لفي عليين وما أدراك ما عليون كتاب مرقوم يشهده المقربون إن الأبرار لفي نعيم على الأرائك ينظرون تعرف في وجوههم نظرة النعيم يسقون من رحيق مختوم ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون ومزاجه من تسليم عينا يشرب بها المقربون إن الذين أجرموا كانوا من الذين آمنوا يضحكون وإذا مروا بهم يتغامزون وإذا انقلبوا إلى أهلهم انقلبوا فكهين وإذا رأوهم قالوا إن هؤلاء لضالون وما أرسلوا عليهم حافظين فاليوم الذين آمنوا من الكفار يضحكون على الأرائك ينظرون هل ثوب الكفار ما كانوا يفعلون.
Beginning of the surah, it talks about a taqfif. What a taqfif is in the olden days, if a person came to buy something, they would put that commodity, whether it's fruits or something like that, on a scale, and then they would bring their, you know, dirhams, dinars, and so on. And they would weigh it. Not the dirhams and dinars, but they would have a weight. They would say, like, this is 10 pounds, for example. And then they would put 10 pounds of food on this. So what they would do is, they would make the scale heavier or lighter? they would, I believe, they would make it lighter. They'll make the weight to be, say, like 9 pounds, so that the person wouldn't get as many dates as they normally should have gotten. Basically, what that is short changing. If you've ever gone to the airport when you're coming out of the parking, it says, it has a sign that says, pay this much. And at the bottom it says, if you're requested to pay more than this, you know, phone this phone number. And they put those things in because those agents at the, they can easily say, oh, that's $12 when it should be 10. And no one will question them, and they give the extra at like $2. Or someone going to buy something, and then a handful of change that is put in your hand, and you're not even thinking twice about sitting down and counting all of it. You just put it straight into your pocket. They can easily take out 25 cents from everybody. At the end of the day, they've made like an extra $5 or something like that, or maybe even more than that. That's short changing, and that's taqfif, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ, which is a curse. And like we said, when the word wail comes, it comes regarding an action that a person is doing that will bring upon their destruction. And you'll see in many countries when they begin this, even though it may seem like something very small, but it could bring upon not only their destruction, but the whole economy and the society falls down. And you'll see that in countries where they accept bribery, or they accept things like that, that their whole society is destroyed from the inside. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ إِذَا كَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوَّزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. This is actually almost the double standard of this person, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِذَا كَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ, like, if they go to buy something, they're like, let me check that measurement. And they want their full due. They themselves want it. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ, but if that same person was to come to buy from their shop, they would cheat them. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوَّزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. And this happens in a lot when it comes with حقوق, that everybody wants their right, my right, my right, my right. But when it comes to the rights of other people, do we really want to fulfill their rights in the same way that we want our rights to be fulfilled? Or is there a difference? Is there a double standard there? وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوَّزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. I think I'll just mention this. One of the shuyukh was mentioning that sometimes when someone, they want to enter into marriage, they may say, like, forget the court system, you know, the kuffar and this and that. And they say, we want to go to the masjid and we don't care about, you know, getting blood samples or whatnot, according to the Quran and Sunnah. Then they get married like that. But then, during the marriage, problems happen, the divorce, and then they're like, oh, I need to go to the American system. I'm not going to go to the sheikh, right? He's just going to tell me, oh, this and that. And then, because now they want, you know, it's like a double standard there. That on one side, they're saying that we want full thing, but when it's against them, they don't want that anymore. And they want more than what their right is. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 4, أَلَا يَظُنُّ, that don't they realize and don't they think, أُولَٰئِكَ, those people, أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Don't they realize, and that shows the severity of what they're doing, don't they realize that they're going to be resurrected. They're going to be brought back for reckoning of what they did. And all that cheating will be brought forward. لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, to an enormous day and a great day. The day, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسِ, in verse 6, the day when the humans and mankind, يَقُومُ النَّاسِ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, will stand for the Lord of الْعَالَمِينَ, the Lord of the world. There was actually one of the ulama, the Khalifa, had once come in and they were in a large gathering. When the Khalifa came in and it was an enormous gathering, everybody stood up for the Khalifa. And so this one alim, he remained sitting. And then people asked him about this. And he said that, I didn't mean it out of disrespect. He said, but when I saw everybody standing up like that, the verse that came into my mind immediately was يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسِ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He said, so I felt shy to stand up for anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, and he remembered that day. And this is the verse. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina, the people used to cheat, and they were of the biggest cheaters in their business before the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina. And so this surah was revealed, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. And that's why I said that there's even an opinion that it came in Medina, that woe to the people who do this short-changing and cheat in their measurements. And then Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said that after that, they became the best people in measurement. After that revelation, and they continued until his time to be the best people in measurement, and they wouldn't cheat anybody because of the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll see in the Qur'an, when the prophets would come to their people, you would see they would call them to La ilaha illallah, call them to Tawheed, and at the same time, there would be some major sin that they would speak about also. And the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, the major sin in addition to their shirk was that they were cheating people in their business. Which was, you know, here's the people of Lut, their homosexuality in addition to their shirk. And you'll see other people, and here the people of Shu'aib, this was their major sin, was that they would cheat people in their business, and they were destroyed because of that. Destroyed for the sin. In Tabarani al-Kabir, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and a people will not shortchange in measurement, except that they will be denied the harvest, and famine will descend upon them. That shortchanging and that cheating will bring upon what we call an economic recession, right? Will bring upon the famine and the drought that will befall them. And something that we learn from this also, something that you run to the postal board and say, oh yeah, I got a new point, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Woe to the people who are not just in their measurement. How could anybody in the world think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unjust in his measurement? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that such a person is in hellfire, this is the just measurement. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a ruling comes down regarding male, female, regarding anything, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals is just measurement. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never make haram for the humans and then commit it himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the hadith Qudsi says, إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي. That I made dhulm and this injustice haram upon me, وَجَعَلْتُهُ مُحَرَّمًا عَلَيْكُمْ. And I made it haram upon you. فَلَا تَظَالَمُ. And so do not do justice with one another. And what we learn there also is that there should be no double standard in the life of a Muslim. If there's something, as one of the sisters was saying, if there's, you know how they have TV shows that are adults, you know, they come on at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and some parents will say, oh kids, you go to sleep, you can't watch this anymore. And then they sit and watch it. And the child knows that the parents are sitting there and watching it. And so if it's haram for them, then it's haram for the parent also. And it shouldn't be a double standard. If this is haram for them, it should be haram for the parent also. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into detail of the end of those people who took the evil path, and then the end of those people who took the righteous path. Allah Azza wa Jalla says there, Kalla, nay, inna kitab al-fujjar lafi sijjin. That the book or the record of al-fujjar, the fujjar are the sinners, lafi sijjin, is in sijjin. Sijjin is a book that has the names of the wretched people, the losers, already inscribed. It's already inscribed. In the Kitab al-Fujjar lafi sijjin. Meaning that if someone, if their path is to hellfire, it's already written that their name is there in sijjin. It's already written. Almost like, you know how they have a memorial place and has the names of all the people that may have died here or died there? This is like Kitab al-Fujjar, and the people, when they see it, they know whoever's name is in this book. Just by the book itself, they know that these people are destroyed. By the horror of the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this already recorded, fi sijjin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سِجِّينَ. A book that has the destruction, the news of the destruction of these people, كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ, in verse 9, that it's already written. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. That woe and destroyed are those who disbelieved in this, on this day, for those who disbelieved. الَّذِينَ يُكَذِّبُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Those who continue to again and again deny the day where they'll be paid back. وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the only one who disbelieves in this, illa, except someone who is mu'tadin. And that's the transgression, someone that's gone beyond bounds. Mu'tadi is to go beyond the bounds. Mu'tadin, athim, and sinful, and disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse 13,
إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ.
When the verses of Quran are revealed to him, he says, it's just the fairy tales and the stories of people that came before him. This verse here, when I was studying tafsir class in Medina University, fourth year, the teacher gave everybody like two ayat and we'd have to come up and prepare a speech in front of the class. So the ayat that he gave me, it wasn't from this surah, but from another surah, specifically this one, about the statement of Asatir al-Awwaleen. So actually I know a lot of detail about this, so I'll give you a little bit of that detail. The person who did this, there was one person that would go around, and this was a technique. You'll see that the Arabs, the Mushrikeen, were trying different techniques to combat and fight the Prophet ﷺ. Of these techniques that they would use is that they brought a man by the name of another Ibn al-Harith, and he was a very famous orator, a storyteller, very famous. Basically, he was a movie theater, you know, when he would talk. And I think even till today they have storytelling in such a way. When the Prophet ﷺ would stand up and talk to the people about Islam, he would stand up beside him and start telling stories. His stories, he was a traveling man, and he knew stories from his travels. He had gathered storybooks about the kings of the Persians, Rustam, Isfandiyar, other kings, and he would tell them these stories, these fables and these tales. And as he would tell them, and all the people, they would leave the Prophet ﷺ, they would gather around another Ibn al-Harith, and they would listen to the story, being distracted, and they would leave the Prophet ﷺ standing, and when he would complete his story, he would say, see, I'm telling you stories, and Muhammad is telling you stories, and the Qur'an is nothing more than Asatir al-Awwaleen. Is nothing more than stories of the people that came before. And actually, this person who did this, if you know the seerah, and when they were standing at the door of the Prophet ﷺ, and there was a group of people, each from a different tribe, that was going to kill the Prophet ﷺ together, one of those people standing at the door was Anabr ibn al-Harith. And he was one of the people who had plotted to murder the Prophet ﷺ. This happened in the beginning, it was working in the beginning, but then after that, they realized the Qur'an is not stories. We didn't see, just like you saw in the Meccan surahs, they're not stories. There's guidance, there's the hereafter, and there's much more than just stories, even though there was the story of Yusuf, the story of Hud, which are also Meccan surahs. And so the people got bored of this man, another Ibn al-Harith, and they went back to the Prophet ﷺ. And you'll see that the rejection here, notice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in verse 13, he says, قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Normally a Muslim here in North America would say, no, it's not stories, just like I said. I said, are the verses all stories? And I gave you an explanation, correct? Look in verse 14, you'll see that there's no explanation right there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَلَّا. And like we said, it's a very intense and severe word. تَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. That indeed, it's a rust on their hearts from the sins that they've accumulated. And here, benefited from this point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't reject or refute their point in detail because they themselves didn't believe in it. They were doing it out of arrogance, out of tyranny, and they already were convinced of the truthfulness of the Qur'an, but their arrogance and tyranny led them to disbelieve. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't wasting time with them, arguing the point, but the warning comes in, strict and hard. Kalla, and that the reality of the situation is that it's a rust on their heart that's stopping them from allowing the truth to enter their hearts. In the verse there, someone might ask the question about the sekta, the pause. it's recited, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ
قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ.
The sector, that pause there, a person is not supposed to take a new breath. They just say, كَلَّا بَلْ, and like hold their breath and then continue, رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And the reason for that, this is in the qira'ah of Hafsan Asim, which we recite. If you try continuing there, you'll have to drop the lam, meaning that you'll recite, كَلَّا بَرَّانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, if you continued. And there are other recitations that go like that, but it's to distinguish the lam from the ra. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, if you continue, it's بَرَّانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, and the lam gets dropped. And so to distinguish the letters, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And the whole science of the qira'at is something, you know, very beautiful. InshaAllah, I don't think we'll teach it in the Maghrib Institute because we need someone knowledgeable for that. And inshaAllah, maybe we'll find someone to teach us a little bit about that. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is saying that the reality of the situation is that their hearts are sealed with the sins that they've accumulated. It's not allowing the truth to enter it. And here it's very interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, كَلَّا بَرَّانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Something that you might not pick up in English, but that is, كَانُوا is past tense. And يَكْسِبُونَ is مُضَارِع. It's present future tense. What they used to, it says there, what they used to earn being present and future. And in those two words right there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joined past, present and future together. مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. From the past, present and future, that all of their accumulated sin has come upon their heart and it's rusted them so that they don't accept the truth and they can't hear it. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ taught us that when a person commits a sin, that a nukta, a black dot, appears on their heart, and if they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, that black dot is wiped away. If they don't, it remains there. And the more they sin, the more their heart builds with this rust on their heart until they can't, until it seals the heart after that. And then the Prophet ﷺ recited this verse, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانَ يَكْسِبُونَ. And what one of the lessons that we learn there also is a lot of times Muslims think that later on down the road, they're going to do some far-off tawbah. You know, when I go for Hajj, that's when I'll do my enormous, large tawbah when I'm 65 years old or something. And I don't have to work and I don't have to care. But one thing that's scary is that perhaps as they continue in their sin, until that time, maybe by the time that they get to that age 65, their hearts would have already been sealed. So that at that time they won't be able to turn back to Allah. Maybe because those black dots at the moment might be in the accumulation stage, but down that far off time, they may not get the chance. And they may not have that sense to realize that they have to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It suffocates the heart. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 15, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. That nay, and all this, their thoughts and all their claiming is completely wrong. كَلَّا, that indeed, from their Lord, عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ, on this day, لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. They will be, and you see the word محجوبون coming from like hijab, hajaba, to be concealed or veiled from their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is actually proof that a believer, someone who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had faith in Allah azza wa jal, the reward of that belief is that they get to see in the hereafter that which they believed in. On the day of judgment, when the people who enter hellfire enter it and people enter Jannah enter it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers all the people of Jannah and asks them, هَلْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَزِيدُكُمْ, is there anything more that you wish for? And so they answer, أَلَمْ تُبَيَّضْ وُجُوهَنَا, didn't you illuminate our faces? أَلَمْ تُنْجِينَا مِنَ النَّارِ, didn't you save us from hellfire? أَلَمْ تُدْخِلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ, didn't you enter into paradise? And then as the Prophet ﷺ said, فَيَكْشِفُ عَنِ الْحِجَابِ, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will move aside the veil so they'll see Allah azza wa jal. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that there will be nothing more beloved to those people in paradise than seeing their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the punishment is that they will never see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. ثم إنهم in verse 16, ثم إنهم لصالوا الجحيم, they will be entered into الجحيم, into hellfire. ثم يقالوا, and then it will be said, they're in hellfire, and they're screaming in the pain, and like we said, that it's not an open space, they're in the punishment, wrapped up in chains. ثم يقالوا, هذا الذي كنتم به تكذبون. This is what, and it will be said to them, this is what you used to deny, and you used to lie about, and you used to hide in disbelief. This is it. بسم الله الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وما والاه أما بعد. So I'm just finishing up Surah Al-Mutaffifin. From verse 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا. Here, كَلَّا, it's a negation of the statement, or it's a negation of the belief that everybody will have the same end. كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابِ الْأَبْرَارِ فَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the record of the abrar, the pious ones, فَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ, is in عِلِّيِّينَ. And عِلِّيِّينَ here, it comes from the word علو, which means high. As we say, Allah Ta'ala, right, Allah the Most High, or Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the Most High. And here, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, same root is, فَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ, is in the highest. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he said, when the soul of the believer is taken, it's carried to the heavens. Then the gates of the heavens open for it. The angels greet that soul with glad tidings. Then they go with it, and like a procession goes with it until they reach the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a scribe is taken out, and they write in it that this person, they write in it the salvation of this person. It's stamped with salvation from judgment and punishment. Then the noble angels closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testify to it. And that is in verse 21, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, that is testified to by those closest and nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. the angels. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse 23 to 22, and then 23 and onwards up to 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins describing the na'im, the bliss, and the blessing that those righteous ones are in. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. And a lot of times, just like the activity we did about focusing on getting the hand, the book in the right hand, a lot of times we focus our khutbas and our halaqas on the negative aspect, how we should fear and how we should be scared and horrified. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's not how the Qur'an speaks. The Qur'an will always give the two. And so there's this excessive focus on the negative. One has to be sure when they're talking to give the people the positive. Give them what they should hope for. And not just scare them, and not just make them lose any hope, but in fact encourage them with the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we see that, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْبُرُونَ, on the thrones looking around, تَعْرِفُ, that you will notice, فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ, in their face, نَظْرَ, that's the brightness and the illumination, النعيم, because of the luxury you can actually see it on the people's face. I think even in the dunya, when someone is in this kind of like the lap of luxury, you can see it on their faces that this guy is too soft, you know, because what what's happening to him. I remember in Hajj, there was my first Hajj. I had gone through so much, and I mentioned earlier how rough that Hajj was, and I was limping and I looked like a pauper and so on. And then I saw some people speaking English. And I said, wow, Americans, because I've been in Medina for all those years. And I wanted to just say, you know, sound like I'm American too. Canadian, actually. And then, but as I came closer to them, I noticed how white their ihram was. How clean it was. I could even smell like the perfume. And they're not supposed to be wearing perfume, but you could smell it. And then I looked at my own clothes, and I saw, you know, the dirt and grime of what I was wearing, and my limp, and the two different sandals that I was wearing, and the cane. And then I backed down, right? And I could see, like, the na'im, the luxury, which package, you know, the $4,000 package that they came with. I came on the $10 package. In verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse 25, يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ, that they'll be given to drink from a sealed wine. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are things that Allah azza wa jal made haram for the people in the dunya. But in the hereafter, because of their taqwa and their khashiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hereafter, they're blessed with that thing which they had restrained themselves in the dunya. And of course, it's not the same wine. These are wines that do not intoxicate. Khitamuhu misk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that it says the last thereof will be the smell of musk. And to give you a little example, something that here, something to that effect, I would say something like Earl Grey tea. You know Earl Grey tea? And the tea itself, I think the British people know it very well, the tea, right? Earl Grey. It has like a perfume smell to it. When you pour the thing, you can smell, and even if you walk into the room, you'll say that this is this type of tea because of the musky smell of and the beautiful smell that comes from the tea. A smell that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in this dunya. And here Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, Khitamuhu misk, that this seal not only will it be a beautiful river of paradise, but it's still the musk and the smell of the river is also a na'im for the believers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 26 before you turn the page, Khitamuhu misk, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي ذَلِكَ and in this, فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ but let those who want to strive, let them strive in this thing. And as of Hassan al-Basri, rahmahullah ta'ala, he said, if you see people striving against you in the dunya, you know, like the Jones and the Smiths, this one gets a new car, and this one wants a car like that, this one a big house, this one a bigger house. He said, if you see someone doing that to you in the dunya, so race with them in the hereafter. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing our attention that if you see someone getting up for Qiyamul Layl, you see someone constant in the prayers, that's the person that you should try to work harder than. And we see that in the seerah when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar, when Umar came with half his wealth, and he was only challenging one person. He was only challenging Abu Bakr. Because nobody else could do it. He said, today I'm going to beat him. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came with all his wealth. And he said that that's cheating. You're not allowed to do that. And he complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Said, this is my day to win. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what have you left for your family? He said, I've left Allah and His Messenger. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed him to go. And Umar realized that this top position was for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and no one else. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 27, وَمِزَاجُهُ مِن تَسْنِيمٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how pure this river is, the mix of it. Tisneem is a high river in Jannah. And it's so pure that these rivers that come from it, they're mixed with Tisneem, and that's their blessing. And they actually say about the people in the highest level, Jannah al-Firdaus, the verse was وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ In that verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارِ It's the only verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ It just says, تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارِ And you know whoever recites that, they're going to make a mistake there. And they say that those people in the highest level, the سَابِقُونَ, the top, that the river isn't mixed. The تَسْنِيم, is it mixed for them? It originates from where they are. Meaning that as they get closer, it's not a mixture of تَسْنِيم anymore, but the river originates from that highest level of Jannah. And here, remember when I said about the lofty beds and how humans, just by their nature, they like to sleep on the 35th floor or something. I'll also show you something else. I have this water bottle. This water bottle, and you can check in on other water bottles too. When they say crystal springs, they say mountain spring water. Right? And they show a picture of a mountain as if the water is coming from somewhere high. And look at every water bottle, most of them, unless they want to ruin their business and stuff, they have a picture of a mountain. Showing that the water comes from somewhere high, untouched. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before any of they had come, they realized that this is where the purity of the water comes. And here Allah azza wa jalla is saying, that mizajuhu min tasneem, tasneem comes from the sanam of the camel. The camel's hump is known as the sanam, sanamul ba'ir. And here tasneem, that's the root word, it's the highest point. And that's the river coming from the highest point of Jannah. عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ A spring which those closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be drinking from. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins speaking about the mocking. And this is something which people take very lightly, but it's something very serious. And I don't think any of us are absolved from this, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our mistakes. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ.
That indeed the criminals and the mujrimeen, they used to laugh at the believers. When I see that happening, maybe sometimes there's a group of, you know, a youth group or something, and there may be one person in that group that's picking out mistakes on this person and that person, making fun of this person's clothes, making fun of this person, this or that. And this verse comes to my mind, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا, that the criminals used to laugh at the believers. And that's what's happening. This is a Muslim here, laughing at believers, taking on the characteristics of those who are doomed in the hereafter. In this verse also, and you'll see the verse, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ, and if they pass by them, يَتَغَامَزُونَ, they would wink at each other, give the little, you know, nudge of the shoulder, in mockery of those people. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ, and if they انْقَلَبُوا, go back to their family, انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ, that they're still, you know, it's the lasting enjoyment of mocking people. They'll say, ha ha, every time they remember, they laugh at how they had humiliated and insulted someone else. In these verses before, and as you notice that this is towards the end of the Meccan surahs, if not the beginning of the Medini surahs, they were very much into mocking the believers. And what they would do is when the poor Muslims would walk by, and there were slaves and poor Muslims that were being tortured, when they would walk by, they would laugh to each other and they would say, look, there goes the kings of the earth. Because the Prophet ﷺ had promised them that if they had followed this message, they would own the earth. And so they would look at the believers, the weak ones, and they would say, there goes the kings of the earth. And then they would fall over themselves laughing. Laughing all the way to their homes. And in verse 31 also, وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. Sometimes the mocking, you may hear the statement of, you know, I just couldn't help it, I just had to mock them. You know, someone sets themselves up, they say something very foolish, and then the person's like, oh, I just couldn't help it, I had to mock them. Like the enjoyment was so much that they just had to fall into the sin. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, this, what people think the lasting enjoyment that it carries with them all the way to their home, that even regardless, even if someone says something like that, I just couldn't help it, they set themselves up, I had to make fun of them, they have to hold back. And this issue of mocking, it's taken very lightly in this country, I'm sure in many other countries, because of all the comedians, their jokes are based on humiliating others. And so, children that may be watching that, they think it's funny to mock others, and to make jest out of them. They say sarcasm is a poor man's humor. Meaning they have no jokes to say, there's nothing funny about them, so they just make sarcastic remarks as if those are the jokes. And then when they see them, وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ, and when they see them, قَالُوا إِنَّ هَٰؤُلَاء لَضَالُّونَ. If they see them, they say, these are the people that are misguided. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, almost as if they've become prophets to say who is guided and who is not guided. And you see of the most misguided people getting up on television and telling people what is the path of truth and what is the path of falsehood. And they are the most misguided people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 33, وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send them حَافِظِينَ as protectors and as divine or people with a message from Allah. So those people that get up and start lecturing the people, they're not sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's only coming from their own whims. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse 34, the ending, where does it all end up? فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on this day, this is the day when the believers will be laughing at the kuffar. Those who used to torture them, those who used to humiliate them, this is the day in the hereafter where the justice is filled up, is given. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. Sitting on high thrones, looking, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. That were the kuffar, and it's a question, were they paid back exactly and fully for what they used to do? And it's almost a sad ending, or it is of the saddest ending for these people who chose a path of mocking and humiliation and disbelief of the believers and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is their end. And so when someone finds that they're being mocked in their deen, and especially in the deen, if someone was to make fun of someone else because of their Islam, for example, if someone has a beard, and then someone makes fun of the beard, and it being the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's tantamount or can take a person to the level of kufr. Because this is something from Allah and His Messenger, and then they're making jest and mockery of it, and so the heart doesn't have that, and there's verses of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Those people who made fun of, actually they were making fun of the Sahaba. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually equated it with making fun of Allah and His Messenger, and said that they had done disbelief. And now when it comes to just mocking of anyone, and it doesn't mean that a Muslim has the right to mock another human being, even if they're kuffar. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِنْ قَوْمٍ. That let no one make fun of another people. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Perhaps that those people are better than those who are mocking. And when someone thinks about that, when someone's making fun, they used to make fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to make fun of Abu Bakr, Umar, and others, and no doubt that they, the people that were being made fun of, were better than the ones who are mocking. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it's enough sin for a person to be considered sinful, a sinful, completely sinful person, that they mock and belittle their Muslim brother. To be a person of sin is that they mock and belittle their Muslim brother. And the Prophet ﷺ said that that mocker will come on the day of judgment, and the gates of paradise will open for him, and it'll be said, come and enter paradise. With all his sadness, and like we said, the end of time, the resurrection, the grave, all that, he comes to enter paradise, and the doors close in his face. And then a door far away opens and it says, come and enter paradise. With all his sadness and grief he goes, and as he nears it, the doors close in his face. And then another door opens again and again until he loses all hope of entering paradise. وَكَمَا تُدِينُ تُدَانُ, as the Prophet ﷺ said, the same way someone acts with others, that person in return will be treated in such a way. Allahu ta'ala.